It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. Real Talk Radio is a ministry of Live the Life Ministries based here in Jacksonville, Florida, where our ministry started in 1998, and our passion and heart was to help people become healthy, mature individuals so they can have healthy, loving, mature relationships, marriages, and families. We know through social science research that as the family goes, so goes communities. Churches, organizations are only as strong as the families are, and families are only as strong as the marriages are. And we know through social science research that all of the major social issues we have can be linked back to high divorce rates and broken families. And so our ministry exists to strengthen marriage and families through teaching to the culture and to the church healthy relationship skills so that people can create the relationship that God wants them to have to live the abundant life. That's right. So they can live out the abundant life. You're going to notice a lot of Christians today are not living the abundant life. They're angry. They're resentful. They're bitter. They're in conflict. They live in fear. That's not the abundant life, you see? And we want people to live out the abundant life heart so they can have an abundant life marriage so the kids raised in those homes can actually see the heart of Father lived out by their moms and dads. And so if you have a question or comment, feel free to reach me at our email, realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. And you can reach us on Facebook, Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. I think it's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. You can reach us there. And so what we're going to talk about today for a little bit here is the idea of inspiration. Have you ever met people who really don't have a motive in life and they're not inspired for anything? You know, they just kind of exist. They just kind of, it's like there's no inspiration in them. They don't know how to get inspired and they're not inspired by anything. The inspiration's about passion, you see. What inspires me is seeing people healed from broken marriages so they can create the family that they want and the marriage that they want. You see, we all need to be inspired by things, but we need inspiration from within us as well. All right? And so what I want to do today is just have a conversation around what are some things that you can do to get inspiration, to find what inspires you, all right? It's what entrepreneurs do, these things. Why not we in the church do these things as well, you know? I mean, think about it right now. If you're listening to me, how many of you are inspired to live lovingly, more maturely? How many of you are actually inspired to live the abundant life heart? How many of you are inspired to be more compassionate? How many of you are actually inspired to be more patient? How many of us are inspired to be more kind? You got it? Those are the things I think we should be inspired for. I get an opportunity to be more patient. Yes, wonderful. Why? Because God is love and love is patient. So the more that I'm patient, the more I'm like God. Because God is patient, because God is love. That inspires me. That inspires me. And when that person cuts you off in traffic and you want to run up alongside them or give them the middle finger salute or whatever you do, you speed up and you stare at them. And you know what I'm talking about, sir or ma'am, who does that, who has the Jesus loves you bumper sticker on your car. What if you were inspired to say, you know what? Let them go. That person didn't wake up today. I get inspired to be kind. And kindness wouldn't do those kinds of things. Kindness just says, hey, go on. You know, you didn't wake up to do that to me this morning. You're just doing what you do because that's who you are. You see, what if we were inspired to live that way within ourselves and towards others? So what I am going to do today is I went and did the research and I've kind of studied what do people do to gain inspiration. And so I want to talk about some things that we can begin to do. If you do these things, it helps increase inspiration. Now, you got to know what it is that inspires you, right? What are you going to be inspired for? Some people are inspired towards sports. Some people are inspired towards video games. One thing that I'm inspired by is my marriage and creating a stronger us for me and Luella. I'm inspired by that, and I live for that. I didn't grow up in a healthy home. There was broken families, a broken marriages, and on both my parents' part. And I had no clear example what a loving, mature, really connected relationship looked like, and neither did Luella. But we were inspired to go learn it and figure it out and create it. And because that inspiration was in us, and in particular me, and I went and I sought the teachers, the mentors, I read the books, I went to the trainings, I did the personal development. I did those things so I can help. As far as I was concerned, in terms of us, takes two to make an us and one to kill it, I was inspired to be that person, and I worked hard to become that. So then, let's get kind of right into this for our short time today and talk about what are some things that a person can do to find inspiration. Things that they can do to find inspiration. Number one thing I can think of, write everything down. Your good ideas, your bad ideas, your laughable ideas, random musings or dreams. Write them down. Many years ago, I was at my dear friend's house up in Wisconsin. And I was doing a marriage intensive with a couple. And it was on the lunch break. And I was sitting there in this beautiful green chair that I love. That if they ever get rid of, I told them they had to will it to me. I love this chair. It's what I use do the intensive out of when I go to their house up there in Wisconsin. But I was sitting during this lunch break. And I was just kind of pondering, looking out the window. And I had this vision in my head. It was so profound, I knew I had to draw it and write it down. So I grabbed a piece of paper, and I'm not an artist, but I wrote down what I saw in my head. It just, that vision. That was many years ago. No idea that little graphic, what I called way back then, the four protective walls of us, would actually become the whole relate well paradigm. And Relate Well is the new program that my brother and I have been working on as we seek to take relationship skills, education to the culture and in the business world in particular. You write it down. You may have something that comes in your head. Write it down so you don't forget it. All right? Write it down. A lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, they write those things down. You go, what do you do with it? Put it aside. For all you know, God's going to bring that back to you. All right? So one thing you can do is write it down. Number two, read. All great people read a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of people read. All right? But not all people are readers. But I do know this. Every leader is a reader. All right? A lot of people read, but not all people are readers. But every great leader is a reader. They are always preparing their brain. They're reading. They're reading blogs. They're reading papers. They're reading inside their industry, and they're reading outside of their industry. So many people only want to read in their box of theology. Folks, go read from other people. You might learn something from Catholic theologian by means. A lot of evangelicals quote them, Augustine, et cetera. They were all Catholics, right? And so there's great theologians out there. Read outside. Read. I read in many different areas. I read geopolitics. I like a lot of crime novels. I read people I agree with, and I read people that I don't agree with. I read people I become a great reader. Why? Because I learn something. I also learn how the enemy thinks. I learn how the people I disagree with, I learn how they think. All right? So read, expand your knowledge base, all right? Inspiration comes from reading. Also, if you want some inspiration, find a new surrounding. It's like some entrepreneurs, they work from home. But guess what they do? They'll go to a Starbucks, they go to this place, or they go to that place. They get out of that place and they go to a different place for inspiration. I remember I was talking to an Aflac guy, and I've not confirmed the story, but I don't think he would have lied to me. I said, how did you all come up with a duck? And he said, the story is that the Aflac had hired a marketing company to come up with something for them, and they are struggling with it. And two guys, or a guy and a girl, whatever, they're near New York City. They went to lunch. They went to lunch, and they're sitting on a bench there, I think in Central Park, wherever it is. And they're sitting there eating lunch, and some duck from the lake comes walking up and went quack quack. And one of them laughingly said, "That sounds like Aflac." And there it was. There it was. Quack quack. Aflac. And we all know the Aflac commercials this day. Sometimes what you're looking for isn't even, it's like the most obscure place. It was down by a lake eating lunch when a duck walks by, and we all know the Aflac duck and love the Aflac duck like you do the little gecko, all right? So find some new surroundings. Put yourself around different people. Broaden your horizons. Some people only like to live in their little corner of the world. Luella and I kind of started to learn from our children. Our children, they've been all over Europe and the Middle East. Trey, my oldest, has been throughout Asia. I mean, he's been in Taiwan, Thailand. He's been in Cambodia, lived in Indonesia. He's traveled all the Indonesian country. You see, and so we went to go visit Trey in Indonesia. We visited Bali and different places around there. We went to the Middle East to visit our other two kids that live over there. And as we have broadened our horizons, we became more inspired about Arab people and Arab culture. And we became more inspired about loving people differently and understanding how they think so we can love them better. Broaden your horizons. Traveling is a great way to do that, okay? The people up north are culturally different than people in the south. The people in the Midwest are a little different than people here in Florida. Broaden your horizons. Learn from others. You can get inspiration from seeing new ways of doing things and different ways of doing things, all right? Another way that you can get inspiration is ask. Get people's perspectives on things. You see, talk to people. You know, you can use Facebook. You can use Twitter. You can use Reddit. There's a lot of things to get different people's perspectives on things. And in doing things, getting people's perspectives on things, you learn something you didn't know. You didn't know that goes, oh, I never saw it that way. And next thing you know, an inspiration happens inside of you. You get it, right? You just get it. Another thing you can do is go do something physical. Sometimes your mind gets kind of bogged down, and sometimes getting out doing something physical, like cleaning a yard or building a house, whatever it is you want to do. You know, I'm not a house builder myself, but go do something physical, something that kind of clears your brain up, you know, and just clears away all the distractions, that kind of thing. By the way, when you're talking about clearing distractions as well, sometimes you got to get away from technology. You know, what I do sometimes, I get away and I go watch a movie or something and let my brain kind of go in this neutral state. And I can't tell you, when I watch a movie or something, sometimes I get this idea or realization or something because it comes, like I got past all those things, all right? all right. Now we'll get back to the show. Question all assumptions is another thing, all right? Question all assumptions. Folks, just because you see something being the way it is doesn't mean it is. One of my great teachers and mentors who I deeply, deeply respect this day is Dr. Jerry Mungadzi. Now, Jerry grew up in the bush of Zimbabwe. He's African and lives in the Dallas area, and I worked for him for a number of years. He taught me much about dissociative disorders and how the brain works and how trauma affects the brain. And he taught me a lot about myself and the demonic world and Christian theology as it relates to those kinds of things. He was one of the greatest teachers I have and still love and respect this man to this day, all right? But one of the things he always said to me is two words. He always said to me that stay with me to this day. And the two words are these. Think differently. think differently. Don't assume what's in front of you is what it is. It might be something different. Don't assume. Question the assumptions. Check them out. And that was the greatest gift he gave me, because some people live in a little, their little small, what I call a dot of knowledge, when there's a massive world of knowledge out there. And what Jerry taught me was question assumptions. All right. Turn some of your assumptions on their head. You might find inspiration in that some of your assumptions may be wrong and based on a lack of total information. All right. Now, be open to all sources. You know, inspiration comes in a lot of different sources. All right. Entrepreneurs know this. All right. Be honest. If you're a business owner, some of your low-level employees have just as much knowledge. If you're a pastor, that does not mean you know everything, and you might learn something from some of your members. You know, one of the things that we see today among a larger pastors are this teaching that they're above being questioned, that they're above criticism. Jesus never saw himself as above criticism. He even says in John 10, hey, if you don't believe me, can you at least what I say? If you don't believe what I say, can you at least trust what I do? He reasoned with you. He did not demand blind obedience. Be open to all sources. You might learn something from a donkey. You might learn something from a place you never thought you would learn it. You see, inspiration comes from many different areas, and it might come from someone who's below you in economic status, but be open. And this is a big one. Sometimes inspiration comes through failing. That's right. Sometimes it comes through failing. Some of our greatest hurts, some of our greatest failures can set the stage for some of our best successes. I think it was Steven Tyler in his song by Aerosmith. He says, you've got to lose to know how to win. And there's a lot of truth in that. Entrepreneurs, what makes them different than most people is basically this. They understand that, yes, in business I'm going to fail, but they understand this truth by Napoleon Hill, that in every failure is the seed of an equivalent success. Where most people fail and they quit, which is why they're a failure, these folks go, no, okay, I messed up, I failed, what can I learn from it? What's the nugget of truth I've got to learn? They then get inspired by that nugget of truth they learned, and they go apply that into the next stage. You see, they don't quit, they keep moving. So sometimes failure becomes a great inspiration. I know that when I walked through a really rough time in 2004 and 2005, that was inspiration for me to look at myself. That was inspiration for me to heal some parts of myself. It was inspiration for me to not be some of the parts that I was, some of the parts that I had, and to transform those parts, you see. And because of that, I've developed to be the guy I am today, you see. And so it's okay to fail. Just don't quit. Just keep moving, all right? Which goes along with having some quiet time for yourself. And in the Christian world, quiet time basically means that the most people, at least, you know, read your Bible. Folks, sometimes it's just sitting and being still. Just being alone with yourself and the Lord. Concentrating on your breathing and what's around you. Becoming very attuned to the outside world, but also the internal world, so you can hear the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get so busy doing, we don't know how to listen to hear the Spirit. And so sometimes just having a time to get away and be alone to yourself, to think, to reason, to consider, and literally if you have the Holy Spirit in you, to listen to the Spirit. And that to me is very powerful. So have those times, just get away. Maybe it's 10, 15 minutes. You close the door to your office and you just pray and ask the Lord and then sit and listen. Okay? Evaluate your goals, you know. Maybe your struggle for inspiration is symptomatic of a deeper issue. Maybe it's because you're not going in the right direction, or your efforts are being taken off goal. All right? Maybe you're chasing, you know, as they say, you're chasing a route you don't need to go. All right, and so evaluate your goals. Make sure your goals keep you focused, to keep the inspiration. And this one's going to sound interesting. but study history. Study history. Study the people of history. What have other people learned? Trace the creativity of great minds. Learn from others who've walked the path ahead of you. Don't assume that you have to force the path yourself. There's a great Chinese proverb that says this, and if I get it right, but here's the essence of it. If you want to know what's in the road ahead of you, ask those coming back, all right? They've been down that road. They've learned things. They've understood things. So when you study history, we tend to make mistakes from the past because we haven't learned from the past, you see? And so study history. I love to read history. Sadly, though, you also see where history repeats itself because people haven't learned from history. So study history. Read great minds, okay? You learn some things that you didn't know, all right? And another way to get inspiration is to never stop learning. Never stop learning. Read scholarly articles, all right? And I'm going to say this. I have been inspired by reading people that I disagree with. I'm going to say that again. I've actually been inspired by reading people I've disagreed with because I listen to what they say and I'm like, oh my gosh, no wonder they're saying what they're saying. And I get inspired even more for what I want to accomplish and do. You see? And I've learned by reading the people I disagree with why they think the way they think. So that inspires me to know how to deal with them and communicate around them. But if I did not know how they think, I couldn't do that. I remember from history, George Patton was once asked, you know, how did you know how to defeat Rommel, the desert rat, the great German general? And essentially, Patton said, I read his book. He read the guy's book. He knew how he thought because Rommel wrote a book on using armor in warfare. And Patton just knew how he thought, you see. So never stop learning, all right? Another one is look at your own life. Look at your own life. Sometimes your own frustrations, your own anger, resentments, but stop your own ability to be inspired, all right? So if you encounter problems, deal with them. Forgive what needs to be forgiven. Get forgiveness if you need it and move forward. Don't live in fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All right? All right? And sometimes, this is a really interesting one to get inspiration. Be the dumbest person in the room. You get that? Be the dumbest person in the room. It is best that you help others become. It is best that you become the dumbest person in the room. Why? So you can learn from other people. But if you're the kind of person that has to educate everybody else and you think you know it all, when you think you're the smartest person in the room, no one's really going to open up and talk with you because you think you know it all. All right? And so, keep pushing. Keep pushing. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. All right, keep pushing and moving things forward. There's another way to gain inspiration. All right, so those are some thoughts I have for how to be inspired, how to move things forward, and how to keep things happening in your life so you can be inspired. Now, as I wrap up the day, what do you want to inspire you? Does anything inspire you? What are you going to be inspired for? See, I'm inspired for marriages. I'm inspired for families. I'm inspired to love well. I'm inspired to be a better man. I want to be more mature in 5 years to today than I am today. And gratefully, I'm more mature today emotionally than I was 10 years ago. Got it? I'm inspired to always grow and mature. I'm inspired to help people grow and mature. And the way I do that is becoming healthy and mature. And then I go mentor people who want to be mentored, right? It inspires me to mentor people. Why? Because when I get to mentor people, I get to see them change. I get to see them grow. I know that that person is going to represent Father's heart to a world around them in a very different way. What are the things that you want to be inspired for personally? Personally, maybe you need to be inspired to lose the weight, i.e. me. Okay. Maybe you want to be inspired to stop drinking. Maybe you need some inspiration to change some bad habits. Maybe you want to be inspired to adopt some better habits in your life. All right. What are you going to be inspired for in your relationships? Do you want to be inspired to be a more loving person, a more kind person, a more patient person? All right. Is there a purpose and a path in your life that God has placed on you and wants you to fulfill, but your own thinking, fears, insecurities, self-doubts keep you from the inspiration? Go deal with those things. Go fulfill what God has called you to be. Why? He's calling you to be that so he can use you to serve others. And let me tell you something. I've learned this. To serve others is one of the best ways to live life. I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, hey, Rick, you do not know how much. And I'm humbled by it. But I'll tell you, at the same time, it's like, Father, thank you. Thank you that you would be willing to use a broken, wounded vessel like me to encourage, to support, to strengthen and inspire people to have the marriage they want, the family they want, to be the person that they want to be. Wow. That to me is just inspirational in itself. It's like, Lord, how much you love me because you would actually use me, a broken, wounded vessel, to serve others. Wow. Thank you for loving me enough to be able to do that for you. You see? So what areas of your personal life do you need to be inspired by? What areas do you want to need inspiration for your relationships? Maybe you need to be inspired to fix a problem you have with a child, one of your children. Or maybe you need to be inspired to do something to fix something with your spouse and to become something better in those relationships. Maybe the Lord wants to inspire you to do something different in your business or in your ministry. You know, all of us are ministers, not the paid people. In the body of Christ, all Christians, you have the Holy Spirit, you are a minister. And wherever you go, you are in ministry. If you work at McDonald's, you're in ministry McDonald's. If you work at Burger King, you're in ministry Burger King. If you work at Dillard's, you're in ministry at Dillard's. And if you work at a church setting, you're in ministry at a church setting. You have great impact for the gospel when you understand that whatever you do and wherever you go, you're in ministry.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hong Kong's embattled leader Carrie Lam has moved to quell public anger by shelving that unpopular extradition bill, but opponents of the measure say that's not enough. Activists say they're still planning a mass protest for tomorrow, a week after hundreds of thousands marched to demand that Lam drop the plan, which many fear would undermine civil liberties in the former British colony. A former Marshall University student says she was forced to leave her dream college in West Virginia because the school allowed a fellow student she had accused of sexual assault to remain on campus. Alicia Gonzalez telling the Associated Press that she felt betrayed by the college's handling of the case back in 2016, and that was battery that he was convicted of at the time. Her comments came days now after the school finally did expel 22-year-old Joseph Chase Harden amid new sexual assault allegations. This is SRN News.
It'll be partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers through Monday. Daytime highs near 90, nighttime lows about 75. And then partly sunny days, partly cloudy nights Tuesday through the rest of the week, with up to about a 70% chance of showers by midweek, and a high near 90, overnight lows near 75.
What is God doing in the lives of refugees in the Middle East, and how can you join with him? Answers today.
There's a sense to where Christians ought to really identify with refugees because we're just passing through. We don't quite belong in this world. We're made for another kingdom. It is not a political word, I think, refugee, but it is a Christian word, and to love the refugees is a Christ action and not a political action.
If you long to make a difference in the world and to give hope to people who have very little, you'll want to join us for today's Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages.
Our guest today is an author, speaker, and pediatric emergency room physician. Her name is Dr. Lena Abojamra, and I think you're going to catch a little of her passion for giving unbridled hope to people who are suffering. Gary, we're going to talk about the struggle that many have today, and it would be easier to kind of look the other way, to talk about something else, but I think this issue is really important.
Well, Chris, I agree with that. You know, the fact is we are in a broken world, In fact, we are in a very broken world. And our guest today is going to address some of those issues with us because God has given her a passion for that. And I'm excited about our time together today.
We've talked with Dr. Lena Abu-Jamra about some of her writing and speaking. She's the author of Thrive, The Single Life as God Intended, as well as Stripped, When God's Call Turns from Yes to Why Me. She's the founder of Living with Power Ministries, and our featured resource today is a website that we're going to link to at 5lovelanguages.com. It's shegiveshope.com, and it's a way that you can respond to some of the issues that we're going to be talking about today. So just go to 5lovelanguages.com to find out more.
Dr. Lena, welcome back to Building Relationships.
It's so awesome to be back with you guys.
We've talked about singleness and finding God's call on your life, and it seems to me that your topic today is something that grabbed your heart and just wouldn't let go.
That's so true. You know, it's funny. I remember coming on the show and talking about singleness and the importance of reaching out of our comfort zone. And one of the gifts of singleness is having more time and freedom. And I think one of the essentials of the message that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 7 to singles is about using that freedom that you have in schedule and in life to help others. And so it was not long after that that I found myself sort of looking for ways to serve the Lord. I was sort of in a transition period in my life. And never in my life had planned any kind of work with refugees. In fact, I had escaped the Middle East back in the 80s and never wanted to go back. But, you know, it's like sometimes the messages that you speak come back to haunt you. And so I'm teaching people how to live outside of themselves and finding ways to be Christ-like and serving others. And as a single, being able to be free to fly and come and go and reach people. And right around that time, the Syrian refugee crisis exploded, literally exploded. And it was all those pictures that we were seeing on the web of people getting on boats and dying in the waters and escaping to countries where they could just evade ISIS and the danger. And one of the places they were escaping was my own home country of Lebanon. And so you've got to be a little dense not to, you know, put two and two together. And I remember praying and asking God, like, God, how can I serve you? How can I help people who are needy, you know, marginalized and who are in a place where they could really use hope? And at the time, I know my own ministry was so much focused on hope and finding hope in the Word of God and finding hope in singleness. And the Lord just so sort of shoved me towards this part of the world, the Middle East. And so I went on a vision trip and started a project in writing. We got our books translated in Arabic. And so really not quite there, but it took about a year or two before I landed on a ministry there run by the a local church in Lebanon, who was doing unbelievable things ahead of their time with the Syrian refugees who had walked over a mountain to come to Beirut and or to the Bekaa Valley, actually, not quite to Beirut. And we just had a great synergy, and I saw the potential of starting medical clinics there. And so we started going, and we've done so far 9 medical mission trips, and we'll be going on our 10th this September. Of course, the work has grown since then, but that's where we started.
Sounds to me like you took your own advice about singleness and utilizing the time you have in a very, very positive way. That's it's super exciting. Your ministry, Living with Power, seeks to help people connect biblical answers to everyday life. Why is it so important for Christians to be able to do that?
Well, I think, you know, head knowledge is only going to take you so far. And I think one of the disconnects in the Christian life is when you start knowing a lot, but you're not acting it out. You're not playing it out. You're not letting the Holy Spirit take it from what you know to what you do. In fact, James would go as far as saying that's you don't know it at all if you're not doing it. And so I think one of the natural, you know, overflow of like growing in discipleship and of your vertical walk with God getting stronger is that you're going to start seeing fruits of that. So any Christian ought to be able to look at their life over time and see not perfection, but an increase fruit of the Spirit and an increased desire to do what disciples are known for, according to Jesus, which is love. And that starts, of course, in intimate personal relationships, as I'm sure, Dr. Chapman, you have spent a little bit of your lifetime talking about. And of course, it extends to your small communities around you and then eventually, in some cases, globally. And when you've got millions of people who are being affected by a crisis in one country, I think that many Christians ought to be able to sit up and go, look, there's a way here where we can share the love of Jesus. And then to hear what God is doing in the lives of refugees, it goes beyond just wanting to help them and really seeing what God is doing and thinking strategically, like if God is doing something there, that I want to be on that page. And I think that sort of drives you to want to not just get on a plane, but really fly there, like just really get there as fast as possible. And so it's been really a very amazing journey that I never expected to be on.
Lena, can I ask you a question about something you said just a minute ago? And as you listen today, we're talking about Syria, we're talking about refugees, but I hope you'll listen between the lines because maybe you're asking God right now, show me where you want to deploy me. Show me how I can give hope to other people. As you hear Lena's story, ask that question and go to the website, fivelovelanguages.com. You'll see more about her work and shegiveshope.com right there, fivelovelanguages.com. You said something about a vision trip. So you went, you know, and it took you a year to figure out what it was. What was the vision trip and what were you praying at that time?
Yeah, that's I think that question that you're posing to whoever's listening is so critical because I think people think that people who are doing work with any nonprofit or with sort of these like organizations that you sort of are so, you know, God put this idea in your head and you strategically executed it to perfection and everything came together perfectly and you're living proof of that. And that is the opposite of what usually happens. Usually, God puts a seed in your heart to want to serve him and love him more. And the more you lean into that, the more you start asking these questions. God, what now? What do you want me to do now? And you start freeing up your schedule and your time. And so, in fact, a lot of times that grows out of brokenness. And for me, it was really a transition that was painful. And in my pain, I started saying, okay, God, I thought this is what you had for my life. And it doesn't look like this is the exact scenario that's playing out. By the way, same thing that happened to me in singleness back 20 years before. And I ended up teaching the Bible, the same sort of scenario happened. And the more I asked the Lord, the more he started putting people in my path and directing my attention and my heartbeat towards where he was taking me. And so my friends asked me to go on a vision trip to Jordan. And I went, honestly, initially just because I liked them. And I thought it would be a fun trip and I'd never been to Jordan. But I started seeing the crisis before our eyes, which led me to then take a trip to my own home country because that made sense. And I spoke the language and the Syrians were there. And so I went there and said, let me see what's happening there and more prayer and more time. And initially a different line of interest that eventually continued to point me towards what ultimately God had for me. And so my story really is a bit of a roundabout way. And now I look back and go, oh my gosh, this is so obviously what God wanted me to do, but it took a while to see it.
I hear you saying that God's direction normally doesn't come with a full blueprint ahead of time.
I wish it did, right? Every step of, I mean, I think Stormy O'Martian wrote a book once that said, like, give just enough light for the step I'm on. And I've always found that to be perfect advice. Like, if I could only listen to that advice, I want the whole nine, you know, plan ahead. But God just gives you enough to go by faith.
You're listening to Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman. Our guest today is Dr. Lena Abujamra. And if you want to find out more about how to respond to the refugee crisis in Syria, just go to fivelovelanguages.com. We have a link to her website, and she gives hope. Find out more at fivelovelanguages.com.
Pastor Linda Atkins at Words of Light Church wishes you a wonderful Father's Day and a happy and safe 4th of July. What a great time of year when we honor our fathers and also celebrate another birthday of the best country on earth. Tune into the Words of Light broadcast Sunday mornings at 7:30 here on the Truth Radio Network. For service times, please go to wordsoflight.org. Again, happy Father's Day and a safe and blessed 4th of July from Pastor Linda Atkins at Words of Light Church.
It's time now for the Mefford Minute with Janet Mefford.
A small Texas city has just made a big statement for the cause of human life. Wascom, Texas has declared itself the nation's first sanctuary.